man he's been given. Luke Fletcher, 6 wickets to his name, is now on a hat-trick.
They're asking Nick Cook and he's given it! And Samit Patel takes his place in cricket history.
This is the Talk of Trent Bridge. I'm Matt Freeman and I'm joined this week by 2 Trent Bridge titans who are getting better and better as the years go by. Samit Patel and Luke Fletcher popped into the home dressing room to discuss the latest goings-on, with Fletcher recounting his last-minute call-up to the T10 League in Abu Dhabi.
I was about to pick Fred up from school and then I got a message saying you're flying tomorrow from Birmingham, so I was like, oh, I think you're right. Better get my head on here, yeah. Pack some shorts and that, get myself ready, get some Factor 50 on.
Patel spoke of his pride at seeing his teammates put together such a strong Red Bull season.
I was really chuffed to bits with the way we played. The brand of cricket that we played was great. And obviously that takes a lot of guts and a lot of determination and a lot of courage.
And the duo shared their joy at the return of James Pattinson to Nottinghamshire Colours.
The way he plays his cricket, like heart in his sleeve, like he plays with, wants to win. And I think that we need winners in this club.
You don't want to let him down, you want to jump on him. When he's running through a brick wall, you want to run through it with him.
But first, we took a brief look back at the festive season.
Good Christmas, good break?
Yeah, not bad. Good.
Yeah.
Family
good
time.
Hectic?
Well, I was back Christmas Eve, it wasn't that hectic for me, but Christmas Day and the rest of it was pretty hectic.
Yeah, well, I suppose with having the kids around, it must be a pretty full-on few days.
It's good, but I was done by the end of it. I had enough by the end of it. Yeah, wrapping presents is not my forte. I struggled a bit with that.
Did you do a present wrapping thing?
Yeah, I struggled then, wasn't it? A couple of years ago. That was when I was doing was it a Trent Rockets thing? Then I got sacked by him, didn't I? So I don't think it's...
Yeah, well, I mean, I brought something for us,
well,
are we?
Let's not go.
30 seconds in, I brought that up, which is...
Yeah, I've only just got over that, but thank you.
Well, at least you got picked.
Wow. It's probably the worst. That's the worst thing ever. You get picked and then you get sacked before you even bowl the ball.
COVID's fault, COVID now, isn't it? Everything kind of blew out of proportion in 2020, all that sort of stuff. Well, we don't need to dwell on that, do we? It's not getting you on a podcast to talk about not getting picked for teams. That's not the one, is it? Let's talk about last year, I think, first. Well, we'll talk a bit about the winter and where you've both been overseas and what's to come. But first, we're going to look at a couple of bits of things that happened over the summer. Because with you being on the field, the one thing that you miss probably is hearing Dave Bracegirdle, is hearing Trent Bridge Live, is hearing them describe the beautiful moments that happen out on the field. So we're going to play a couple of clips from this season, see if you can guess what was going on out on the field. You on the field, or you in the team for both of these. I think, Sam, you were around for the T20 one as well out of these two. So let's see if you can guess what this was.
To the left-handed Dorchus, the batsman having crossed. Dorchus gives himself room and he's yorked by... Perfect delivery in the circumstances. Batsman giving himself room. What do? Get the Yorker in.
Jake Ball Yorker. From the Radcliffe Road end.
Yeah. That's the one. That is the one. Yeah. From the Worcester game.
Yes. Yeah.
Which I think you were both playing in. What a game, though. The perfect T20 in many ways. Just
absolutely.
Wrapped up in no
Did
time.
Knock it off and on there?
Yeah. Great game of cricket.
Great night.
For a not spectator.
That was the one where I think it got done in time for the England game as well, wasn't
That's
it?
That's right, yeah.
You got like 3 for cricket.
Yeah. I was going to say, actually, yeah.
Samit started off and then it just kept going.
A word.
I don't think they hit the boundary until like the 12th, 15th.
It's a strange one. Yeah, I bowled that first ball to Ricky and as soon as he played it, it was like, oh, here we go. And as soon as I saw his face and I was like, right.
I don't think it was a terrible pitch, was it?
No, I don't think it was that.
Just a good bowler, right? Just a wily bowler. Right,
yeah. I mean, that was, and I guess it still is, I've not checked the stats, at the time that was the most economical form of a spell ever in the T20 Blast in England.
I think it's still is.
And I don't think anything's going to be
record,
that. I mean, absolutely chalking the records up. But yeah, did you know from early on in that game that it was going to be a night like that?
Not really. You never think T20 can be so... Like, it doesn't finish that quickly, really.
Someone
normally hangs about,
someone, yeah.
Gets a 30 or a 40 and gets a team to like 120, 130. And then we try and knock them off. Hopefully, 2 down, but cricket never works like that, so, yeah.
Except for that night.
Yeah.
No, it was, it was a perfect game of cricket.
One or two games like that in the summer as well. There was the Birmingham away game, which I was going to get a clip from, but the Warwickshire-Birmingham commentators didn't sound very happy about being beaten by 115 runs, so it didn't make for great commentary. But
that was good, that, because I think, was that when the Euro was on and they were singing It's Coming Home, wasn't
that's
it?
That's it.
It was loud.
Friday night, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. Really good.
And it must be a bit more relaxed when you know you've only got to chase down 80-odd in the dressing room.
Well, we thought that against Hampshire, didn't we?
I'm not taking that.
Well, it's true though. I don't think you can. I mean, you never know. You just never know.
Yeah.
You just never know. I think when you get to the quarterfinals and things like that, the pressure plays a bit of a part as well, and you lose a couple of quick wickets and a few big players are out, and then all of a sudden you're padding up and scrambling around for your thigh pad, and then next minute you're out there. So.
Especially from the start we had in that quarterfinal. To finish the way we did was so disappointing. Because we played some great cricket up until then. Like we were on a great run with momentum in all forms of cricket. We're playing some good cricket. So
I suppose this is knockout cricket, isn't it? I suppose you get the Leicester game the year before it, it's the other way round.
To lose like that was just, it was a bit of a dagger really, that.
Yeah. Let's not dwell on quarterfinal defeats. Let's play the other clip from one of the Red Bull games this summer.
Mr. Bracegirdle, have you got a primary club tie?
Harmer. Into bowl. Gone, Ailey's got it away, past the fielder, down to the long leg boundary, and gets the four he needs to go to three figures. It's his 16th first class.
That's Stephen Mullaney getting to 100
here.
That's the one, yeah, against Essex. Yeah. Yeah, the early season game. The 16 tons is probably the thing that starts
gives
to give
it away,
isn't it really? What a run, and what a game that was. I mean, that was the game, the first home game back after the win over Derbyshire. Mm. What was the general feeling in the dressing room going into that game having happened there?
I think everyone was chuffed with that, but then you're coming up, you're going from Derbyshire to play against the current champions, Essex. Yeah. You won it the last 2 years in a row, so you're thinking, oh, you know, we don't want to get too ahead of ourselves. But I mean, we just started well. Whenever if we lost the toss and we were bowling or batting, we started really well and we bowled well as a partnership. And we just kept piling the pressure on Essex, really. I thought Lyndon came on and bowled a great spell. We just kept piling it on and got our rewards. So, credit to Mull. I mean, it wasn't the greatest pitch in the world. It was all right, but I mean, to get 100 against that attack on there, set the game up well. And then, like we did first innings with the ball, we just came out and was consistent with the line of lengths and got the reward. So, ended up, we absolutely thrashed them in the end.
Yeah, it was a big
so one. So, I think after that game, we probably took a lot more confidence than after the Derby game, really, because, you know, you're beating the current champions.
Yeah.
And you take a lot of form out of that, a lot of momentum out of that, and a lot of confidence.
Yeah, I was going to say, was there a moment when you kind of realised what sort of season you might have been on for? Because, yeah, the Derbyshire win got the ball rolling, but when those wins started to come, was there a moment where you thought, hang on, we're having a real season this time?
Yeah, it was almost like we were itching to get back out there.
Yeah.
And that period's quite difficult, you know. I think you play 8 or 9 games in 10 weeks, so it's pretty full on. You know, you need your bowlers to be fit, and we were lucky like that. Our bowlers stayed pretty fit. Saying that, they didn't, did they? Bawley got injured and Brett first game, so I'll tell you what did happen actually. I think the younger lads, so Lyndon stepped up with the ball and bowled some good spells, and then Dane was sort of feeling for his form, and then he got into some form with the ball, and that was it. So
yeah, I was going to mention Lyndon actually, because he got a 4 in the second innings.
Lyndon was a big part of our success last year, because people who come on first change, they need to continue the pressure. They need to continue, putting the ball in the right areas. And sometimes, you know, teams can get away in that situation. But he piled it on and he took wickets as well. And he went through a stage of getting a wicket every first over, didn't he, Lyndon?
Yeah.
And he'd be a big player as well. So he did a really good job in that. And he was a big part of us having a good season.
And he was in there with the likes of you and Brodie in that attack. You all, I suppose, know what that's like from coming through and maybe having Andre Adams, Frank C, Sidebottom, whoever else in that team. That's something to live up to, I suppose, when you break
through,
isn't it?
Even for me with Brodie, we signed the same year, but played a lot of cricket then. But still, you're bowling at the other end to someone who's the second best ever English bowler. So Lyndon, who'd probably watched him coming through since he was a young kid. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? Be out on the same field as him. And the standards that Brodie lives up to, you know, you want to do the same at the other end. You don't want to let him down.
Yeah. Is that a pressure or a help, that kind of thing, having players who've been there, done that when you're coming through as a younger player?
It's a bit of both, actually. I think the best will always see it as a competition, and the others won't. And you'll see some consistency and you'll see some inconsistency. And I think that the best kind of cricketers will thrive off Stuart being there, and the average cricketers probably won't. And I think that's just cutthroat of professional sport. Yeah. You've got to want to try and be a Stuart Broad in your own way, and contribute to a winning team. And I think that what Luke's just said there is spot on. I think pressure is a big word there. We've continued to do it with the red ball a lot, and Luke's figures last year were outstanding. Like the number of wickets he's taken, we know how good a bowler he is. And to stay on the park as much as he did, to the overs that he bowled, is a great testament. And I think that you could just see the way the team's going at the minute, the four-day stuff, and I was really chuffed to bits with the way we'd played. But it was also how we played the game and how we beat some of the teams, like the champions. The brand of cricket that we played was great. And obviously that takes a lot of guts and a lot of determination and a lot of courage. And I think that the batters definitely stood up. Fantastic to see the likes of Ben Slater, Ben Duckett, Joe Clark, Lyndon, everybody contributing to a winning team. And I think that if you look back to our success, 2005, 2010, everybody contributed. And I think that's a big... the big catalyst.
Yeah, and we talk about the players who were maybe in the team when you started out. Who were the equivalents for you in that dressing room? Because some big characters in the sort of mid-noughties in those teams.
Walking into the dressing
William
room.
William Clark, was it?
Well, yeah, not that old, Luke.
Old Lord.
Well, you've got the likes of Gallion and Bicknell. Well, that are just stalwarts of county cricket. Knew how to get the job done. They've seen the shine off the ball. For the likes of the stroke makers of Hussey, Fleming, Russell Warren, Anurag Singh. KP, Frank C. Reedy, it's pretty daunting. You've got Mark Elam in there as well. And then you've got the bowlers to back that up. Well, to be honest, Mickey made some great signings. As long as he made some terrible signings, Mickey made some really good signings.
Don't name them on that.
But you've got to give some credit to Mickey. Like, he made some really, really good signings in that period where we didn't really need it, but we did. But the experience that he brought in of Elam and Andre Adams, and we brought Sidebottom in, it was fantastic to see. You got Shrekky in there, yeah. AJ Harris. You had the young uns like Mark Footit was still waiting to come in. So we had some pace there. We had something to work with, and I think it's really, really good to see the boys go now. Actually.
Yeah. I think we're similar to that now. You look at some of the younger lads coming through now. I mean, Joey Everson, Lyndon James, Liam Paterson-White. There's a couple of lads coming through. Fateh Singh, Kingy as well. So, I, you know, the future's bright. But you've got to have the experience around them younger lads to help them come through. Yeah. And that's what I remember when I first came in the dressing room, like Samit said, you got some senior bowlers. This was a corner here. It still is now.
Yeah.
And then you just look over, you think, Jesus Christ, there's some big personalities there and there's some proper players there. And that sort of helped guide you through.
Yeah.
You know, I regularly getting rollickings off Andre Adams, every week, really. But actually, looking back, he probably, you know, he's just trying to guide you in the right direction.
Yeah. Talk about guide you through. Are you talking an on-field thing, or is it broader? Oh,
both
than that?
On-field, off the field. Because I was a bit, it wasn't wild, but I enjoyed off-field activities as well as on. Yeah, I liked it, but and I went offline a few times. But you know, in the end, you learn the basics well, and you try and improve, you know, throughout your career. And I think now, for someone like me, it's my chance and my job really is to really relay that to the younger lads coming through now.
Yeah. I remember when I spoke to you after you signed your new contract midway through the season just gone, you talked about wanting to have a 50 wicket season in the Championship. You ended with what, 66 last season? Six, yeah. So you talk about getting better over time. Yeah. How satisfying was that to put that together over a full 6 month season?
Oh, I mean, yeah, I don't like to put a number on things, but that the 50 wicket one was hovering around everyone for a while because they were saying the last person to do it was Andre Adams, and he had been gone a long time. So, I mean, it was time that someone stepped up and did that and did that role. And, you know, I got on a bit of a roll early season and sort of kept that form going. I thought the style in which we played at Trent Bridge, the way we went about it, we had a chat in Boundary's Edge, actually, before the season, and how we wanted to play our cricket, what we want the wickets to look like. And that was brilliant. And credit to Steve Burks and the ground staff, they give us some great wickets throughout the whole season, and then it was down to us to apply our skill, and we did that well. And you know, it's not just me who got the wickets. Dane Paterson as well, he got 50 on his first season. Brett Hutton, who came back from injury, we would have got 50 as well if he was fit the whole season. So credit to them lads. Liam Paterson White was brilliant all season with bat and ball. So you know, it's not just you can't just do it on your own. It's a collective team thing. And like Samit said earlier about our batters, I mean, our batters got stuck in some difficult situations and some difficult conditions, but grinded it out and got us a score that allowed us to bowl a side out, really. So it was a massive, massive team effort.
And what an attack it's going to be next year. All the players we've spoke about already, plus James Pattinson returning for a third stint.
I might be a Lady Bay.
But look, Pato brings excitement, pace, aggressiveness. Like, he brings a package. Played with us before. That 2017 season was one of my favourite years of cricket, just because of what he brought to the package. And the way he plays his cricket, like heart in his sleeve, like he plays with, wants to win. And I think that we need winners in this club. And I think that the way he bowls is different. He'll replicate Fletch really, really well. You got Brett there, you got Brodie there when he plays. And the youngsters, it'll just have to be a bit of a rotation. And I think that if we can get our heads around that, we're like thrive each other's success and enjoy it, I think we'll be in a good place. And I know it's very difficult not playing, and everyone wants to play, of course, but if the team's winning and we're going in the right direction, everybody will get their chance at some stage. And I'm sure the youngsters, as hard as it is, might have to wait a little bit longer, but I think that'll be better for the club because they'll learn off the likes of Pattinson, Fletcher, Broad. So then when, say, Hutton comes in later on, he's also got the experience. He's a fantastic red ball bowler. Everybody will keep learning and the cycle will happen. So I think we'll be in a great spot for Pato.
Yeah. And to have overseas players who seem to really kind of buy into the club, Pattinson has done that, Patterson last year as well. How big a difference does that make when you get a character like that?
I mean, that's massive. You know, the passion that they have to play at Trent Bridge. Dane had it last year. I mean, they're very similar in the way they are as people. Brendan Taylor was similar as well. They come in and they have an effect straight away. They get stuck in with the lads. And you just enjoy playing with them. That's the big thing. You know, whenever you walk on the field with James Pattinson, it's great fun. You know he's going to be aggressive. You know he's going to get stuck in. And he seems to get the best out of all his teammates as well. Like I said earlier, you don't want to let him down. You want to jump on him. When he's running through a brick wall, you want to run through it with him. So he's got that personality. He's lovely to play with. He's great to have on your side. And he never gives in. And I thought, the back end of last season, he had the likes of Dane, Brett, myself. They had three seamers who basically did that. You know, you get stuck in tough situations. You just never give in. And Jimmy's right up there in that situation. And he'll get the best out of all of us. But on the flip side, you don't want to put too much pressure on him. You know, he might not come in and do what he did in 2017. You know, it might take him a few games to get going again. So having him around is, you know, it'll certainly bring the best out of all of us.
Yeah, yeah. And to have players of that ability in the side, you know, the likes of Jimmy and Stuart Broad, and a few years ago we've had the likes of Ashwin play out here as well. How big an impact can that make when you've got someone who's been there, done that for so many years to come in alongside, you know, quite an experienced dressing room already?
Absolutely, you can only go one way, and that's to the top. To have someone like a Jimmy Pat playing, everybody's got to go with him, like Fletch says, and you never know what can happen. We obviously want to replicate the 4-day season we had last year, but not so just the 4-day stuff, the white ball stuff as well. He also can bowl with the white ball. He's been to the IPL. The experience, the knowledge that he's going to take from the IPL, he's obviously going to come and help us here. So yeah, it can only be better for Notts cricket.
Yeah, big summer ahead. Exciting winter underway at the minute, though. We're catching you, Sam, just before you disappear again, I think, aren't we? How have you found the winter so far?
Yeah, pretty good. It was the T10, which me and Fletch were both there at, and I went straight to Sri Lanka from T10. It's gone really well, the winter so far. I couldn't have asked for a better winter. T10 wise, a little bit slow, but I think that's just T10. I don't see that as one of my favourite formats. You can obviously just take what it is from T10. It's 10 overs. You can't really take it too seriously. You obviously do need some good skills, but there's not a lot of pressure, to be honest. It's more pressure on the batsman to score them. And obviously you've got to know your skills with the ball. But Sri Lanka for me was a big one. Thankfully, I went really well. I took some wickets, scored some runs. Feel really good, actually. So yeah, it was a good winter.
Yeah, and your first taste of the T10, wasn't it? How did you find it out there?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, I'd love to go again. Yeah, it was amazing. Weird, actually. I mean, I wasn't obviously in it when they did the draft, and then got the late call ups. Yeah. I was about to pick Freddie up from school, and then I got a message saying you're flying tomorrow from Birmingham. So I was like, oh, right. Better get my head on here. Yeah, pack some shorts and that. Get myself ready. Get some Factor 50 on. I thought it was amazing. I mean, to be around some big players and chat to them and and play with them was brilliant, and it was great fun. You know, I didn't put too much pressure on myself. I didn't expect too much of myself. I just went out there and tried to enjoy it. Yeah. And that's, you know, I think that's probably the best way to go about them competitions, especially when you've not really had an opportunity before. But yeah, great fun, and yeah, I'd love to give it a crack again at some stage.
Oh, well, didn't you?
It was all right, wasn't it?
Got Yorkers in?
Yeah, a few, yeah.
Plenty of outlaws out there as well,
there was
they?
A lot of outlaws.
Plenty
out
of sort of, there, plenty good. Of match-ups and face-offs. How is that when you, it happened in the 100 as well here, it's happened in the franchise comps over the winter, you're playing against the guys you share a dressing room with year in, year out. How do you find that?
Good fun, actually. I think yeah. It keeps the competitive spirit high, actually, because to get one of your teammates at home is obviously important. And like in Sri Lanka, I got Tommy out, 100, I got Clarkie out. Hopefully,
always
I
looks get, like you enjoy those moments.
Oh yeah, I love it when I get the boys out. But hopefully they don't knock me over. That'll be getting out to Fletcher.
Well, I struggle, didn't
I? Yeah, but that's just cricket. Yeah, it was just have a bit of fun and see where we go. I think it's take it with a pinch of salt. Yeah.
It is weird though. I remember that when I played for Welsh Fire, the first game was Trent Rockets, of course. I'm thinking, oh my god, Alex Ayler. I thought he's going to smack me all over the place, but he was more nervous than me. And I said to him, look, I've got nothing to lose here. Mm. You are the franchise superstar. I am not. I'm just coming in for a bit of fun. But no, it was so weird. I didn't like it really. To start with, but I think the more you play against people, you just get on with it, don't you?
Just get used to it, yeah.
It was frustrating because Samit won that game for the Rockets, and I was trying to tell people what to do, where to bowl, and they're having none of it. I'm thinking, you know what I mean? It's going to go boom over there, and I just watched it. I watched it all and far. I've been watching this for 14 years. You just listen to me, but no one's having none of it. And then next minute, thank you very much. Cheers, Samit. Well played. Another man of the match. But no, it is what it is. I think that's the way cricket's going now, isn't it? There's that many teams around the world, leagues around the world that...
There's too much footage now of blokes playing cricket everywhere, and everyone knows where everyone hits it. It's just on the day. There's no secrets anymore. Everyone knows where you're going to go under pressure. It's just if you execute, you do it well. If not, you're going for runs or scoring the runs. It's just pretty simple.
Yeah, yeah. And it's starting to get a little bit more competitive, I think, in terms of the pre-season over here. I think there's some batsmen facing bowlers and proper kind of middle practices coming up. Is that a phase of pre-season?
Well, that's
that
cricket, isn't it?
To?
I mean, that's cricket. I've always enjoyed bowling at batters because you sort of know where you're at. There's certain drills you can do. You know, you at the start of pre-season, you're trying to get your body back to bowling. But now, this time of year, you want to start getting that competitive edge in training. Because that's what we're coming up to in April. You know, you want to be in there against the best batters. Ben Slater, Hasib Mir when he comes back, people like that. You want to know where your game's at. And that's the only way to do it is by bowling and practicing properly like that with match sort of intensity. Yeah. So that's where we're at now. I think, you know, they're trying to drive the team towards the tent, which is going to be the first outdoor practice. And everyone going in the tent and flying and ready to you know, kick on and take it to the next level. So, yeah, like you said, it's getting competitive now, which is good.
Yeah. Are there things you take from a winter before? You took 66 wickets in the Championship as well. Are there things you did last winter where you think, well, that obviously worked? So
this well, I brought some walking boots last winter and started walking, so I'll just keep walking now, yeah. So maybe that's something, but not really. I think for me, it's just trying to stay on the park and trying to keep improving, you know. Last year, I did some work with Shiny, which I've said loads of times on interviews, where, you know, using the crease a bit better. Trying to relax my wrist a bit more so I get that little bit of kiss off the wicket. But I think now, it's, you know, I've been around a bit of a while now, so it's just making sure I'm on the field now, which is the main thing being a fast bowler. You know, you can't take wickets sat up here on a physio bed. So
yeah.
I think getting myself into a condition where I can get some overs in my... And then, you know, I'm on the park, I'll take the wickets.
Yeah. I think I remember Pete saying in an interview, and I'm taking a bit of a flyer here because I've not written it down. He talked about Brodie being in the sexy phase of his career when he got to sort of early mid-30s.
He calls it the sexy last third. He said it to me a few times. I'm in the sexy last third.
Yeah.
Samit's been in it for about 10 years.
Yeah, no. Morsy, he just knows how to get the best out of people in the right stage of their career. And it's the words that he says that actually make you think a little bit more and actually doing the work. Because he doesn't say it in a headmaster type of way. He just says it as in, like, a convincing way.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Even though you don't want to do it, you feel like you have to do it, if that makes sense. And I think, I'm sure he saw Fletch certain times of how he needs to go about his training and stuff like that, which we see the rewards now.
Yeah. And with the track record behind him, absolutely. Suppose you kind of buy into
that. He knows how to bowl.
Yeah.
Like, just can you get more wickets? And what do you need to do to get more wickets? And I think, we're seeing everything now.
We had a big thing about making batters play. I mean, I looked at some stats, I got told some stats about me to left-handers, I wasn't making play enough. So just little things like that where you just tighten your game up. And you'd be surprised, the basic things, but actually they have a massive effect if you actually stick to them and you work on them. And I think I went through a phase where I wasn't really getting any better. And I think when you're getting older, you've probably got to look to get better even more.
100%.
Even more, because some young lads coming through now, they're all ripped. They're all bowling fast. They're all up for it. You know what I mean? They want to take your spot, which is absolutely right. I remember having that feeling when I was young, trying to nip off Shrekie or Franksy or someone like that, thinking, "No, I've got to try and bowl better than them." But I think the older you get, you've definitely got to look to keep improving.
100%. I couldn't agree anymore. Couldn't agree any more than that. I think that the stuff that I do with white ball cricket now is more explosive. Not so much the run in the mill stuff. I think that's already ingrained in me. I think they're more explosive hitting. You just see the way the game's going. I think you've just got to try and evolve with the game. And like Fletch says, there's always going to be some young nipper trying to come in the way and get you out of the team. And the way my mentality is that, not quite yet, youngster. Like, I'll tell you when I'm ready. And until that drive goes, then I'll keep doing my stuff. So I think that's how professional short should be, really. So
yeah. And in terms of continuing to improve, is it helping that you're always playing, I suppose, now, aren't you? You're getting that improvement in matches because there's a tournament somewhere that you're performing in.
Luckily, thank touch wood, there's always tournaments that you can go and play in, and that's, it's brilliant to just keep playing and rolling from tournament to tournament, but sometimes you do need a break mentally to re-energise and get the batteries refreshed for... The English summer is always taxing on the body of how much cricket we play. So that's always in the back of my head that obviously we're going to need some to leave some of the tank for the English summer. So I think it's great. But obviously mindset wise, I'm in a good place at the minute, playing some good cricket. So hopefully it can continue.
Yeah. And just before we finish, a word on Ross Taylor as well. Finished his career this week, finished with a wicket, and you both shared a dressing room with him here for a few months at the start of 2018. What was he like to share a dressing room?
I used to pick him up because I lived about half a mile from him, so I used to pick him up at them flats by the river. And I got him, I thought he was a really nice player. He was. I mean, it's a shame he was only here for such a short time, really. But he liked his Nando's. He used to have Nando's every night.
What was his kind of...
I think he tried to stay good because he was still playing, but now he can have double chips if he wants, get it all on there. But I remember he loved his Nando's, which I was more than happy to go Nando's every night with him as well. But good guy. I mean, a good player as well. Some of the innings he played was... He played one at Essex, I think.
A great knock that was,
and it was
it?
Wagner
oh,
was
my God.
Bumping everyone. And Wagner's got this bounce that it's just hard to get. He's not quick, is he? But he's just so accurate with it. But Ross played it so well, and I think we won that game.
168.
Yeah, 160 and won that. But just having them players around, you said one earlier, Ashwin, all them players that come with their international experience it's amazing, really. Just to sit and speak to them. I used to love chatting with them.
Roscoe, the record speaks for itself, to be honest, internationally, domestically, and what a great fella. Great man, the way he played his cricket on and off the field, so chilled out, as Kiwis are. Yeah. Generally so relaxed, but there was just no, what you saw with Roscoe was just how, no emotion really, it was just so blasé about how it went about his cricket.
That can't always be easy to do though, can it, to be that unaffected?
When you've been around that long, it's probably
you could just see it in his batting, to be
just
honest.
Chill out there, you know what you're doing, you know how to do your job.
Always had a smile, there was just nothing with Roscoe, it was just so, I know what I'm doing, leave me to it. And play cricket with a smile on his face, and I think that's the way it should be, really. As how much cricket he's played, and the record he's got, he's fantastic. He's had a great career. I put a tweet out the other day about Roscoe, but he loves his chicken wings. So hopefully he can have a few more chicken wings, Roscoe. So.
Great player, and the secret is chicken wings.
Absolutely.
Well, Nice note to end on, I think, there. Some nice sort of life lessons about relaxing and eating chicken. thanks for popping on. Cheers, thank you. Enjoy the rest of your winter.
Thank you.